live on Blog Talk Radio for The Game Plan. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Today we're going to do kind of polar opposite of what we did a couple weeks ago. We're going to wrap up the KSU football season. It was the season that was, and to help me do that, from KSUOwlsSports.com, he is Brian L. Jones, not to be confused with any other Brian Jones. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Waiting on the other shoe to drop. There's always something technical going on, so we'll just power through it.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
But, a lot of people don't know because half the time I forget to mention it. Me and you spent a lot of time in the KSU booth together, as that just happened to be where our assigned seats were. But tell everybody a little bit about what you and Chris do with the website and everything.
Well, me and Chris and his brother Devin started KSUOwlsSports.com probably around 2014. It started as KSUOwlsFootball.com when we expanded it to all sports and even local sports in the Atlanta area. And when we started, we basically just followed the football team as they got the program off its feet. We were there at practice during camp every day. We actually followed them when they moved into their dorms for the first time. And that first year, we were just watching them scrimmage and practice. And we would just pretty much blog and take photos of everything that's going on in that first year. And then that would just build up to what will go on the next year and then the year after that. So basically, our site is just all about sports going on at KSU as well as the Atlanta area. But we do basically focus on football, and our Facebook page has grown a lot, especially this season, because of the way that the team played. And we just also keep an eye out on basketball and baseball and other sports as well. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been fun following this team these last few years and watching them grow, watching these players grow, watching the coaches grow. And I think it's just only going to get better as the years go on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as I was saying, the season that was for this Kennesaw Owls team, unfortunately, we joined in. When I say it, that was me and Impact Media. When we joined in, it was a little later in the season. But this team seemed to start strong, and they finished strong. They're one of the most consistent teams I saw. How did you kind of see the overall season play out?
The beginning of the season, they started pretty strong. I think they, at times, they were slightly shaky. I think, you know, obviously they lost to Stanford, but they had a three-hour weather delay, so that kind of slowed them down. And they were able to bounce back against Tennessee Tech. They struggled a little bit against Alabama State, but defensively they played really well. And then after that, they had that bye, and then that's when they really start to click on both sides of the football. So I think for the most part, they were really consistent. I think they started off just a little bit slow on offense to start off with, but they really, after the bye, they really got things going. But I think it really, this year just goes to show you how much they bought into what Brian Bohannon has been coaching these last few seasons. And, you know, consistency for them has really been key. You know, we talk about what they've done on offense because they're the number one rushing attack in FCS. But the way that they play defense, the way they played defense all season is really the reason why they reached the quarterfinals. So this was just a big step in the right direction for the Owls in year three. And I think it's just only going to bode well in year four.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I explained to people this year as well is everybody took a redshirt year the first year that they joined this team, like that very first season. All they did was practice for an entire year because they wanted to be ready. They didn't want to come out, you know, slow out of the gates or something like that. So this is technically, you know, even though we say year three, this is year two as an actual football team, correct?
Yeah, you can definitely say that because, you know, as you mentioned, they all took a red shirt in that first year, and all they were doing is practicing and just hitting each other that first year. And the only they had a scrimmage in the fall
of that season. But yeah, it was just basically just practicing, going over certain situations once the season begins. And so they're still really young when it comes to a football program, which makes this year even more impressive. And the fact that you have these players buying into the system, and Brian Bohanna talked about it, you know, it wasn't easy for them to convince these players to come to Kennesaw State and be a part of this program where they're going to have to, you know, not play a game for another season. And then you don't know what you expect in that first year or in that second year. And they just bought in. And I think the way they've worked in practice and the way they're so focused during the week, it paid off on game days, because the first year they were 6-5. They were still trying to learn how to play together, but they did pretty well in that first year. The second year they took a step forward and went 8-3, and they were one win away from reaching the playoffs. Now that they're in year, now they just finished year three, they were able to take that next step and go 12-2, reach the quarterfinals. You have a number of players reach the all, being named All-American. Bryson Armstrong was named National Freshman of the Year. They're just really, it just goes to show you they're just growing as a team. And, you know, year four and even year five, it's only going to get better simply because the coaching staff and then the nucleus they have on offense and defense. So even though they're really young, they are a very mature team. And I think they're just going to be an absolute threat in the FCS for many years to come.
Oh, yeah. And I do want to start on I want to start on some of these players, and I want to start right there with the guy you mentioned, Bryson Armstrong. Now, we also cover Georgia State on our show, The Game Plan, and they have a freshman that came out of nowhere and was just annihilating people. But what Bryson Armstrong does for this team is unbelievable. He is practically in on every play, if not the one who causes every play. Coach Bohannon at that famous press conference, I told the story here before, but basically he said, yeah, we were kind of pre-interviewing the kids. We're showing them that, you know, in the sports world, you get interviewed by people, you get these kinds of questions. Here's the way to make sure you know what you're saying. They ask a lot of the defensive players, what's your favorite play as a Kennesaw Owl? And like he said, like 80% of them either said, well, Bryson did this that caused this to happen, or I was next to Bryson when this happened. This kid's in on every play.
He really is. You know, just looking at his final numbers, 114 tackles, 12.5 tackles were lost, 11 sacks, and 3 interceptions. He was just a guy that just made a big impact on that defense, and that's one of the reasons why the defense was ranked number one in the Big South Conference. And there are other players, too, that played well, Izzy Sam and Anthony Gore, and even Taylor Hinkle, who's been a leader on that defense. But Bryson Armstrong was really the catalyst on that side of the football. He just made everything go. And, you know, when you're watching him, he's just all over the field. He just continues to make play after play. So he's, again, with him only being a freshman this past year, I just think he's only going to get better. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to be a first-team All-American when his career is said and done.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also mentioned Taylor Hinkle. He's the one who's walking away on his last year, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He decided, I saw that on Twitter not too long ago, that he decided to step away. He had 1 year left of eligibility, and there's really, I don't think there's any real backstory behind it. I just think that he just wanted to, finish his schooling at Kennesaw State, and he just felt like it was just the right time for him to go. And again, as I mentioned, he's been a leader for the Owls, and he's a guy that was part of that inaugural class. From Marietta, went to Kell High School, just was a leader for that defensive backfield. So it's unfortunate that he's leaving, but he's done a lot of great work for the Owls the last 3 seasons. And I know he's going to be one of those guys going back to each game supporting the Owls next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we look forward to seeing him there as well. You know, we could go through a number of these guys on defense, whether it be Izzy Sam or Anthony Gore or Jace White or any of them. But it just seemed like each and every week there were the usual suspects that made plays, and then there was the new people that would emerge. It's like every week a different person made a play for this team, and that, to me, that's what helped make this team so special.
Yeah, especially on defense. When a team like Kennesaw State intercepts 27 passes and goes on a streak where they intercept at least one pass the entire season, you know, you have – it's the reason is you have those guys that don't get a lot of attention, but they just make plays when their number is called. You look at guys like McKenzie Billingsley. He had an interception this season. Paris Bostic, who's a transfer, he had an interception this season. Desmond Johnson, Keon Roman, all those guys that don't get as much attention as, say, like A.Z. Sam or a Bryson Armstrong or a Taylor Hinkle, they make plays. And I think that all goes back to coaching. I think Brian Newberry, the defense coordinator, has done a great job with those guys each season. And with the new recruits coming in, I think they're just going to continue to buy in what these coaches are selling them. So even though you need guys like Bryson Armstrong and Anthony Gore and Andy Sam and Akeevan Rawls to be leaders on that defense, the other players that are role players also have to step up. And that was another big key for Kennesaw State this season. So I think that has to, if they do want to get back and make a deep playoff run, the key for them is those role players and those guys that don't get a lot of snaps, they're going to have to continue to take advantage of their snaps and make plays when their number's called.
Absolutely. And I wanted to, I had heard some inside information very early on into our coverage of Kennesaw, and I couldn't say anything to anybody because I felt like it would disrupt a lot. But now that I have final confirmation here that Chad Lunsford took over the Georgia Southern job, I had heard Coach Bohannon was on the top three list that Georgia Southern Eagles were going to try to get him out of Kennesaw and down to Statesboro. But, you know, I didn't want to mention it to Coach. Season's over, I can say something about it. I had heard he was on the hot list to do that, but I also told the people that told me that, I was like, good luck. Coach Bohannon has some deep roots in Kennesaw, and he wants to see this through.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I know, I think someone asked him about that not too long ago, and he shot those rumors down really quick.
Yeah.
And it's understandable.
I let somebody else do that.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, I mean, it's understandable that Georgia Southern have him on top of that list. It's just simply because of what he's done in a short period of time and the offense that they run. Georgia Southern wants to get back to that triple option type of offense. And obviously, Coach Bohannon worked with Paul Johnson at Georgia Southern when they won those FCS or and won AA national titles back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So it completely makes sense for them to have him on top of that list. But yeah, I didn't think Coach Bohannon was going anywhere. He really done so much work over the last 4 or 5 years to build this team, and he really wants to see it through. He really wants to win a national title. And the fact they were 2 games away from doing that, I think he's pretty confident, and the team's pretty confident that they can get back to, or at least get be playing in the national title next season or even the year after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys, I think Chris went as well. You guys made it to the round of 16 game, correct? The Jacksonville State game.
Yeah, we traveled to Jacksonville, Alabama to see Jacksonville State, or to see the Owls play Jacksonville State. And, you know, it was a great stadium. It was a great atmosphere for a football game. Yeah. You know, obviously,
yes.
Jacksonville State is one of the better FCS programs. They played for the national championship a couple years ago, only to lose to North Dakota State. But that was just a really impressive game by the Owls, especially defensively, because the Gamecocks have a running back in Rock Thomas. He was an Auburn transfer. He was really one of the better players in the country. And, you know, even though the Owls weren't able to do a whole lot offensively, they were able to do enough. And defensively, they just shut that offense down. It was a really impressive win. And I think the coaches from Jacksonville State and the players were really impressed with the way Kennesaw State played. So it was really just one of those big wins that if you're an Owls fan or you're a player or if you're a coach, you're really going to remember for a very long time, because no one gave Kennesaw State really a chance to win, just simply because of their youth and the experience that Jacksonville State has. But it was a great atmosphere. It was a great experience. And, you know, the fans, the Kennesaw State fans, they traveled really well for that game. So that was impressive. So it was just a really great game and a really great day for the Owls.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And we're talking with Brian Jones from KSUOwlsSports.com, doing some KSU wrap-up here. Yeah, as far as the Jacksonville game, Jacksonville State coming into that game was number three ranked in FCS. That's how good this team was. That's why, like you said, nobody was giving Kennesaw much of a shot. And you look and you say, well, 17-7, it was pretty close. Actually, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
They held, what are they, the Gamecocks? I want to get that right. I think they
are. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
They held the Gamecocks to 187 total offensive yards. That is beyond impressive, let alone 7 points. This is, like you said, this is a Jacksonville State team that runs up the score on a lot of people.
Yeah, they really do. And their only loss before that was against Georgia Tech. So, I mean, they were expected to win the game. And they actually played pretty well in that game. So, the way that Jacksonville played all season, you know, they may get off to a slow start, but in the third and fourth quarter, they just turn it on and just blow teams away. So the fact that Kennesaw State was able to limit the Gamecocks on defense the entire game just shows you where they are as a program. So, and again, it's understandable why people didn't really give them a chance, but I think now and Kennesaw State will play Jacksonville State this upcoming season at SunTrust Park, so that should be an interesting game. So the fact that Kennesaw State was able to pretty much dominate that game, I think that's really going to gain a lot of attention from the national experts and just from other top teams across the country. You know, I think before this season, they didn't know a lot about Kennesaw State. Now that they were able to beat Jacksonville State in the second round and then take it to Sam Houston State in the quarterfinals, I think more and more people are starting to realize that Kennesaw State is a team not to mess with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to get back to the schedule here in a minute because I want to get your take on something. But, you know, we got to go over some of these offensive guys. You know, that's by far the bread and butter of this team, and Coach Bohannon has got a hellaciously good scheme. I was a fan of his. Another guy here on the show graduated from Georgia Tech and was there during some of his tenure there. And we always liked the guy, always thought if he had the right personnel, he could really do something. Well, lo and behold, look at the Kennesaw Owls. That's exactly what happens. Obviously, it's spearheaded by Chandler Burks, who is not only the leading passer, he's the leading rusher. But we've also seen at times when he was either injured or late in games when they wanted snaps for Daniel David or anybody else, they can run the system pretty well. It's just Chandler makes it that much better. It's almost, without comparing these two, because I don't want to compare these two teams, it's like saying what Chandler does to make this system better is what Tom Brady does in New England to make the McDaniel system better. You could get a pretty good quarterback who could do really, really well in the system, but if you want to excel to that almost unbeatable level, you get a Chandler Burks or you get a Tom Brady in that case.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about Chandler Burks is he's the first ever commit for KSU. He's the first ever signee for KSU, and he really didn't get any other offers. He was talking about that in the press conference not too long ago. So, I mean, he's not necessarily the best player. He's just the right player for that system. And, you know, in the first year, Trey White was the starting quarterback, and he was good for the Owls in that first year. And then when Trey White got hurt in the second year, Chandler Burks took over, and you could see the ability that he has. So now that it was his show in year three, he was able to do everything that was asked of him in that offense, able to run the option well, make good decisions, throw the ball downfield, and that resulted in him being the Big South Conference Offensive Player of the Year, being a third-team All-American by the in the coaches FCS All-America list. So, you know, he's had to deal with injuries over his career, so it hasn't been an easy road for him, But the fact that he's been able to fight through it and really just grind it out, it just really paid off in year three. And I think he's going to be one of those candidates. And he was a candidate for being player of the year this past season. He's really going to be one of those finalists for the National Player of the Year when it's all said and done.
Oh, yeah. He accounted for – I want to make sure I get all the numbers right. He accounted for 27 total touchdowns and looks like right at 2,400 total yards between rushing and passing. In fact, he almost outrushed his passing yards. He had 1,100 rushing yards. He had 1,300 passing yards. And it's just unbelievable what he does. I kind of accredit it to Andy Dalton at TCU where – You see the war paint on, and you know that the fiery redhead's about to take you to victory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and he's the first player in Big South Conference history to throw for 1,000 and run for 1,000 yards in the season.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's just been really impressive. And as soon as he was decided to go to Kennesaw State, I knew he had the ability to make an impact on this offense. I did not expect for him to make this much of an impact. So he's definitely, he knows the system. He ran this system when he was at South Paulding High School. So this was just an easy transition for him. And the fact that he was able to be so efficient all season long, that was another reason why the Owls were able to win the Big South Conference and reach the quarterfinals of the playoffs because of his quarterback play. So I just think with him entering his final year, he's definitely going to be a guy that teams are going to have to game plan for, because if he gets going, the Owls are going to have an easy victory each week.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, if we're going to talk about rushing, I literally read down this list, and every one of these guys made big-time contributions, whether it was yardage, whether it was blocking, whether it was just overall leadership. The Shaquille Terrys, the Jake McKenzies, Darnell Holland, obviously the emergence of Bronson Rechsteiner, who was a linebacker up until they decided, we got to get this guy on the field. T.J. Reed, Sam Outlaw, Trey Chivers, Tommy Bryant, of course, Daniel David got some yards in there too. And Brandon Simmons, Ezra Naylor, and there was a handful more that I could have named, but those are just the guys who got regular playing time in this option.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to the rushing attack, you know, Bronson Rechsteiner and Jake McKenzie, you know, you talk about Chandler Burks being the leading rusher, but those two guys are really a big key into why the Owls were able to rush for close to 330 yards per game. The fact that, you know, they were able to run up the middle and run up the middle effectively, that's what makes that triple option offense go. Because if you're able to hit those defenders in the middle, then that actually leaves those outside lanes open. And Jake McKenzie, he's a guy that started his career as a quarterback and saw some action as quarterback in his first year, but they just decided to move him to running back, and it's just been a great transition for him. So those two guys, and Shaquille Terry has been an impact player. Darnell Holland definitely made some huge plays. But, yeah, you mentioned that all those guys are a big part in their rushing attack. We mentioned Chandler Burks, and rightfully so. The leading rusher had 1,000 yards, 18 rushing touchdowns. But all those other guys made a huge impact in that run game. It just made it very difficult for defenses to defend. So you could stop Chandler Burks, and which is not an easy thing to do, but you still have to stop guys like Shaquille Terry, Darnell Holland, Bronson Rechsteiner. If those guys were able to get going, if Chandler Burks wasn't able to get going.
Right, absolutely. And a lot of people are like, well, they run the option, or they run the triple option variant. So, you know, their receivers, how do you get people to buy into that? Well, why don't you ask people like Calvin Johnson, who had a similar situation, and he was one of the best to play. Kind of their version. Once again, I hate comparing pros to college players because it's unfair on all accounts. But Justin Sumpter could start on any team he wanted to because he's just that good. He's one of those guys that literally probably looks at Chandler and goes, just throw it, I'll get it.
Oh, no question. And Justin Sumpter's been doing that for the last three seasons. You know, you look at his numbers, he's 33 receptions, 610 yards, and 5 touchdowns. You know, those aren't really big numbers, but considering what how they run that offense, it's really good for a guy who doesn't get the ball that much. I mean, you know, the way that the Owls throw the ball at times, they just throw it up to Justin Sumpter, and odds are he's going to get it. In fact, when they played Liberty, Justin Sumpter made a one-handed touchdown catch. Mm-hmm. It was the number one play on SportsCenter. So,
right.
And he's been doing it. And Brian Bohannon had talked about this time and time again. That's just something he does, like throughout practice and throughout the season. So this is nothing new for him, and this is nothing new to the players that he plays with. So, you know, even though the passing game isn't like this aerial attack that teams have to worry about, they do have to watch out for it, because the way that the Owls run the ball and run the ball consistently, if they throw the ball downfield, odds are it's going to be open, and odds are they're going to throw it to Justin Sumpter, and he's probably going to catch it. So they might not have passing attack, but they're ranked high in passing efficiency because of Justin Sumpter.
Oh yeah, and I can't not wrap this up without mentioning he might be one of the best field goal kickers I've seen in a while, and I've seen a good handful of games here recently. But Justin Thompson is as good as money when it comes to anything. I mean, he missed a couple long ones, but anything from pretty much 49 in, he doesn't miss very often.
You know, that's actually really interesting, because last year and even the year before, one of the biggest issues with this team is special teams, specifically mm-hmm. the kicking game. And, you know, Brian Bohannon, he talked about it, I think it was even in the spring of last year, he talked about, or you know, actually it was in the fall of last year, he said, I don't really know what to do about this kicking game because we tried everything. And now enter Justin Thompson, who's a Big South Conference special teams player of the year, and he's just been virtually automatic. Yeah, he's missed some long field goals, but if they needed a big kick, he was able to get it. And that's another reason why the Owls were able to win 12 games and win the Big South Conference. You know, offense, defense, and special teams, the Owls played really well, played consistently all year round. And, you know, but the biggest thing is the special teams. The fact that you have a reliable kicker and you're able to get nearly automatic points from Thompson, that was huge for this team this season. So, you know, talk about the offense, talk about the defense, but I think special teams played a big part in the Owls' success this past season.
Oh, yeah. You can tell any offense or any offensive coach or even any head coach, if you know that you're getting a minimum of 3 points every time you cross midfield, that puts a whole new confidence. You don't have to take big chances. You can work you can work on things and just try to get solid yards and not turn the ball over as much from taking too many chances.
Oh, no question. And I think that's the one thing that Brian Bohannon wanted to do this year. That was one of his goals for this season, is to improve on special teams, and he did it in a big way. And I think Justin Thompson was just the right guy to get that team over the hump. And I think that was the big issue with the team last year, is inconsistency on special teams. And they were able to improve on that vastly this season. So as long as for next year, as long as the special teams are consistent, Justin Thompson's able to be automatic like he was this season, I think that side of all the special teams is nothing to worry about for 2018, and then you get the offense going, you get the defense going, then the Owls should definitely have a chance to win the Big South Conference title again and make another run in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. And as we finish up our KSU wrap-up here with Brian Jones from KSUOwlsSports.com, let's talk about this schedule. I went over it the other day because there are some that I have automatically circled for obvious reasons. Like you said, the SunTrust game at the very end against Jacksonville State, yeah, that's going to be very fun, because really the first time I'll see a football game in a baseball stadium, you know, close up like that. But to me, and Coach Bohannon always say this, and any coach will tell you this, there's no bigger game than your next game. And that first game out of the gate is ultra super special here for the obvious reason, but
you're right.
Having Kennesaw start their season versus Georgia State in that brand new stadium that they opened this year that they had trouble winning in, which was a weird another thing, but having the two teams that we cover here play each other in the opening game, that's going to be a very special day.
It really is. And I hope that a lot of fans, Georgia State, Kennesaw State, even if you aren't alum or fans of those teams, just come out for this game just because both of these teams are relatively young. They're both steadily improving. Georgia State won their first bowl game. Kennesaw State just is coming off their best season. So it's really going to be a compelling matchup. I'm really looking forward to that game also. The fact that they're playing that at Georgia State Stadium, obviously a new stadium. Both offenses can be very explosive. Both defenses can make plays. So it's really going to be a very entertaining game. Georgia State, obviously, part of the FBS. Kennesaw State, part of the FCS. So it should be a great early season college matchup, not for just for state of Georgia, but just for the entire country.
Right, and it kicks off the Owl season as one of the both first weeks are Thursday games for them, one being there, and then they go to Tennessee Tech after that. But, yeah, Thursday nights, I will go ahead and tell people, it sounds like an odd night. A lot of people like to stay in and watch the NFL. There may not be an NFL game on August 30th, just fair warning for people. But Thursday nights under the lights at any Georgia stadium, let alone – it doesn't have to be Georgia State. But Georgia State's under the light stadium that you can really enjoy in August. It's not too hot. It's really big. You can check out all the really cool things they've been doing there. They're doing a lot more. They're just now reaching phase 3 of 5 or so with the stuff they're doing there. But, yeah, I agree that where these two – where these two teams are and these two schools are right now, it's the perfect time for them to play each other because they're going to prove to each other where they're at and they're going to prove to everybody that Georgia is still the place to watch football.
Oh, no question. And I think, you know, as we mentioned, just the way that these teams played this past season, this sets up a really entertaining game on August 30th. And I actually been to Georgia State Stadium for a game last season. And I think the fact that there's continuing to improve that stadium is going to be a great atmosphere. Thursday night games are always fun, no matter where they are. But at Georgia State, it is something really special. And the fact that this will be the first time these two teams have met, I think that's going to make it extra special. And, you know, these teams obviously are not too far away from each other. There's going to be bragging rights on the line. So it's really going to be a lot of fun to see these teams go at it.
Oh yeah, just consider this because more than likely you'll go to the Jacksonville State game as well. We're going to be able to cover Kennesaw playing in 3 different stadiums that are within an hour of each other this season.
Absolutely, and they don't really have to travel that far.
No,
when it comes to
away
games,
they practically jump on 75 for either one of them.
Right, exactly.
But this is going to be a fun season all the way around. People ask me all the time since we cover both of them. You know, oh, how does this one compare to that? I was like, you can't compare them. And it's not because of levels,
right,
and it's not because of distance or they're in this league or that league or they do this. No, I like both of these teams. I like both of these stadiums for completely different reasons. They give you different feels. They give you all these different fun things that I tell people all the time. I was like, you know you're not doing anything Saturday. You know you're not doing anything Thursday night. Come watch great college football, and it's right in your back door.
Oh, yeah, no question. You know, there have been plenty of times at the Kennesaw State games or even at Georgia State where, you know, you wish that more fans would come out and see these teams play. And especially this past season with both of these teams playing really good football. And, you know, obviously the state is dominated and the city is dominated by University of Georgia and Georgia Tech. And rightfully so, it's understandable. But if you don't want to go to Athens and sit in traffic on 316 or you don't want to deal with the traffic in downtown Atlanta going to Georgia Tech, then why not go to Kennesaw, Georgia, or even on the other side of Atlanta for for Georgia State Stadium and watch some pretty good football. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg. The atmosphere is really good for those games. I think it's a little bit more intimate than what you would see at Sanford Stadium or at Georgia Tech. So I hope that the way these two teams played this past season will get more fans to see both these teams play, especially for that first game, just simply because they need the fan support. They got pretty good fan support towards the end of the season. They need more of it simply because both teams are building something really good, and I think they're just going to continue to have a ton of success. So hopefully this game on August 30th will just be a stepping stone for both of these teams just to take off for the rest of the season and even moving forward for years to come.
Oh, yeah. And I was just breezing over the rest of the Kennesaw schedule. I went over it a couple of weeks ago as well. Even the away games are not that far away. So if you're a supporter
right.
or alumni like myself, and you know, you should come check them out. And this is not like one of those pleas where they pass the hat and oh, everybody put in what you can. No, it's like we said, it's if you want a good entertaining football game, come see either one of these teams. We are at them all the time. Trust me, you cannot miss me or Brian. We are not really celebrities, but
yeah,
we tend to not look like everybody else. It could be that we're not wearing Kennesaw gear when we're there, but no,
right.
You guys should all come out. You guys should all say hey to us. The same thing always applies on this show. If you ever see anybody from this show out, take a selfie with us, put it to our social media. We will
yeah.
we will send you guys some swag for finding us, because trust me, we're not hard to find. But
right.
Brian, it has been fantastic having you on, and I know we got some things in the works that I think you and Chris may be a part of towards the fall that we're going to talk more about. But if people want to follow you on Twitter, it is at Brian with an I, at Brian Jones 247, correct?
Yes, that is correct. It's Brian Jones at 247.
And KSUOwlsSports.com is the website. Is there any other
yep.
way they can follow you guys on social media?
If you – and I'm going to double-check and be sure. If you put in KSU – at KSU Owls Football, that should be the Twitter handle to follow us on Twitter. And then on Facebook, we actually have two accounts. We have Kennesaw State Football and then KSU Owls Sports. So you can follow us there on Facebook.
Yep, and I just double-checked your Twitter feed, your Twitter that you were talking about, at KSU Owls Football. We'll take you to their page. I have to do the same thing, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
We run three different Twitter accounts and a handful of other things here, so a lot of times I'm like, wait, let me make sure that one's right.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, Brian, it's been fantastic having you on. It's good to catch up because it has been almost a couple months since we spoke.
Yeah, it has
last.
Been a while. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, spring football's coming up. National Signing Day is coming up. I know we will cross paths all in between there. But appreciate you being on, and we will see you on later down the road.
Oh, absolutely, Jeremy. Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, you're welcome. Like I said, have a good one.
You too, man.
And that was Brian Jones from KSUOwlsSports.com. Like I said, we end up sitting beside each other a lot in the media booth and interacting and doing some things. I need to start having him on some of the videos. I do. Great guy. Does some fantastic things. Him and Chris Drees, we mentioned Chris. He is the second third of the KSUOwlsSports.com trio, along with Chris's brother. They do some fantastic work. But there you go. We pretty much wrapped up Georgia State. Now we've wrapped up Kennesaw. So now we go on our small sabbatical. Don't worry, we've got some things planned. Like I said, National Signing Day, the second one, is coming up in a couple weeks. Got some special things going on with the team that I will let you guys know about as soon as they get closer. And spring football is around the way. So even though there won't be a show each and every week, you can always catch our other shows, such as Board Check, which is our Atlanta Gladiators and hockey show, which will be pretty much in this time slot. And that next upcoming weeks. It usually follows this show, but it will be in this time slot from here on out for now. And then also on Thursdays, 7 p.m. right here on our Blog Talk radio site, we have Sports Club, where it is an all sports, all inclusive. That's where you'll find all of our special guests that we have, especially Kennesaw related ones, Georgia State ones. We try to do a lot of things local. We talk about all sports, really centered around football right now. But we've got some fun guests. We've had people like Warren Moon on. We've had people from the world of basketball, from the Hawks, from all over. That's a program and note where you can find us from here on out. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. This has been a great season of the Game Plan. Appreciate all you guys listening and following and giving us shout-outs when you see us places. But I am Jeremy the Impact York, signing off for this season of the Game Plan. Go Owls. Go Panthers.
A lot better when you win.